Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hello, everybody.
Howdy.
Hi.
I'm Scott Shannon. No, I'm not.
Oh, the lies you tell.
I know. It's true.
Get our hopes up.
Oh. Sorry about that. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day as we're recording this on Martin Luther King Day. So, Christiana, out of town, we're joined this week by Diana Hong.
Who's Yay!
What's up?
Sitting in with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
To have you. So, Martin Luther King Day, I hope you've done all of your Martin Luther King Day sale shopping as people have turned it into a weird retail holiday.
Because he had a dream of sales, I think, is what he was talking about.
Let good values ring.
Yeah.
He had a dream of saving big money on mattresses. Such terrible.
MLK sales?
Yeah,
they why not? Veterans Day sales?
At the rack.
Oh.
They didn't?
I don't think so.
Racist.
I don't know. I saw you.
Wow, I just did a...
Yeah, no. See, it's hard. Yeah, we're playing with the microphones now. So Ted now has the microphone that Becca had before.
Mic of doom.
Yeah. See, and listen how good you sound.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I'm
wipe
like
out.
Really turned on.
Wow.
That
took a lot of doing.
She's a cheap date. Anyway, so Martin Luther King Day, I just want to take a moment to say that, you know, we want to mark it and note it that it happened. And I had to work on Martin Luther King Day.
I also had to work on Martin Luther King Day, but the Martin Luther King Jr. March that happens every year in Sacramento marched right past my work, and there was a drum corps and hundreds of people, and that march meets up with other people marching from all over the city at the Capitol. And I really like that happens every year in our town. And, you know, I get to step away from my desk for a minute and a half and go outside and wave at them all as they go past. And so that was very exciting.
Cool. Cool. I've never seen the parade itself on MLK Day, but just a lot of people. I've seen it on TV, of course, because it gets coverage, and as it should. And it's just kind of frustrating that it, because the whole thing where they're actually having MLK Day sales, it's like, really? I mean, I know we do that with President's Day, and I know Lincoln was assassinated as well, but it just seems wrong to be having, to be turning this holiday. It's not quite like having a big Veterans Day blowout sale or a Memorial Day mashup of savings, but it just seems odd to me.
I agree with you. He's a hero who fell in his prime and was assassinated under, you know, it's very sad, and we're honoring his passing by passing on the savings. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not very respectful.
You know what? The fact that you brought this up, suddenly now I find it really weird that we have President's Day, Memorial Day, and Veterans Day sales. It's just as weird, but I never thought so before because I grew up with that. But it's just as odd because those are also holidays about people serving, people dying, and yeah.
Well, we don't really have Memorial Day. Well, car dealers will do anything to get you in the door. What do
right.
I have to do to put you into this car today? But it's very interesting how it's sort of gone over. And I took a peek at Twitter, and I, you know, sometimes you just really shouldn't do that. We'll explore why a little bit later on in the week, or a little bit later on in the show. So here's what we have coming up. We got some cool stuff coming up today. Florida Corner, we will get to it, I promise. We will touch on the Iron Sheik on Twitter.
Oh, thank goodness.
I know, you'll be excited about that. debuting a new feature, which we'll bring in whenever it's necessary. It's the Nate Darling Show Dickhead of the Week.
Oh.
And it's a local dickhead, so.
Is it me?
No.
Oh, next year.
Next time, Ted.
All right.
Plus, Kate Gosselin. Kate Gosselin.
Wait, I didn't even realize she was still a thing.
Oh, she is. She's a hell of a thing.
The mom, right?
Like the John and Kate plus eight.
Yeah.
She's still a mom.
She's still a thing.
I didn't know.
She's still a thing. She was on the Today Show, and we will talk about that.
As long as we
Does
talk
she still
about
have
her.
A show?
I don't know.
Oh. I want to be famous for having kids.
Well, you've got to get cracking because there's 19 kids and counting, and then there's John and Kate plus eight. I think you need to at least break a half dozen to even be considered.
That's it? Go for 21.
Like, they're like, they, all they do is just have kids, well, and they're like set. I mean, I thought she was like done, and then she's still riding that wave. That's pretty, that's set for life kind of shit there.
No, she has to make porn and stuff to pay the bills.
Not Octomom. Kate
Oh, Octomom. Yeah, no,
Octomom made a lot of poor decisions.
Yeah,
just in general.
She's made some really bad ones.
Oh, no, who knew? So before we get to all of that, we have a big announcement to make.
Drum roll, please.
And we touched on this last week on the show. The big announcement, it's fortuitous that Diana is here, because starting the day after the Super Bowl, we are launching a new podcast.
Ooh.
Oh, hey.
What?
It'll be available on natedarlingshow.com. It will also be available on iTunes. At the beginning, it will at least be available on the regular iTunes feed for this show, so you'll be able to sample it and see what it's all about. But it will have its own iTunes feed as soon as we can get that squared away, and it's going to be every Monday. It's called...
The Well Hong Podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote a pun.
You guys
happy?
You've become your own worst enemy.
I love puns.
So tell us about the format of the show.
It's just kind of talking. I mean, with Nate, you never really know. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a good show, a good way to start the week. I'm just talking about what's going on in the world and what's up and how people perceive things and the world. And should I tell them like what's going on, what we're gonna do? Like,
go ahead.
Know, there's a thing. I don't know if I should change the title of this
it's not set in stone or anything.
Yeah, that's true. There's gonna be one thing that I'm excited about, because I work in customer service a lot and have my opinions about people in general. It's the Bitches Preach corner.
Nice.
And that's on Twitter as well, so you can follow that at Bitches Preach. Tweet, I don't know, at Bitch, I don't know how Twitter works. I'm still trying to figure that out. But it's basically like, you know, just how, you know, you should treat, we forget to treat other people, and just kind of talking about that. And it doesn't sound like it's gonna be funny, like when I say it out loud, and I sound like a pretentious dick. But I think the world is funny, and I think the people are funny, and I think it's a great way to start a Monday with a different perception of the world.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Oh no, this is your new podcast.
Why are you crapping on your new project?
I'm merely making her point that that's what people are like.
Oh,
okay.
I was like, damn.
Personally, I think the idea of hearing some customer service stories from someone in the trenches sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think like we just forget little things and like how we should treat other people, because you know one thing that I always thought was funny is that, you know, people are like, well, you're being paid to do this, or you're being paid to be here. I'm like, I'm not being paid that much.
Right.
You forget that. I'm not being paid that much to deal with your bullshit. There is a threshold bullshit that, you know, amount that I'll take. So I'm really excited. I'm really definitely excited to be working with Nate. And I hope you all listen. So this is cool for me.
It's going to be fun. And I think the cool thing is a show like that is going to evolve. So if you listen to the first show and you're like, I don't know, they seem a little rough, it'll get better.
I promise. Ooh. Yeah, there's only one way to go, and it's up. Right?
So, yeah, we're gonna start from scratch. It's going to be kind of an organic thing, and we're going to grow. And one of the cool things is we're going to do a shorter form podcast. So we're going to keep it at least the beginning to about 15 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So it's like, you want to do 2 miles? You want to go for a little jog? It's like a perfect...
It's actually most people's commute around here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you throw it in, do your drive to or from work, and listen to the show. So that's going to be debuting the day after the Super Bowl, and it will be every Monday. When you wake up every Monday morning, there will be a podcast for you.
You get to wake up to our sexy voices. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's right.
What?
So that's the big announcement.
Yay.
I'm super excited. I can commit to 15 minutes.
15 minutes a week. That's all we ask.
Yeah. That's
if you break it down, that's like two minutes and like 10 seconds a day.
That is so much more reasonable than the Nate Darling show. I feel like we're going to lose out.
Well, it's just more for everybody. It's really what it is. So the next thing on the agenda, I titled Click the Goddamn Link. Now, this is not if it may sound like this is an indictment of some people in the room, it is not. This goes back a long way for me, and it bugs the hell out of me.
Uh-oh.
It's a Facebook thing. You know when you post a link on Facebook, then it's you put a little something about it, and then you post the link, and then the parade of nitwit friends start going, what's that? What's that about? What does that mean? Click the fucking link and read the story. And then if you have a question, ask.
Some people aren't ready for that kind of commitment, Nate. A click is, yeah, a, is like, a commitment.
What, do people actually do that?
Yes. Oh, all the fucking time.
I would defriend my friend. I'm like, you lazy asshole. So you are willing to read my description of it, but you can't click the link. Like, usually they'll like have a summary on the bottom when you post the link.
Not only are they willing to read my description of it and read what is there, they will then type a question about it that is answered in the first paragraph if you open up the fucking link.
Isn't like reading comprehension something we did in second grade?
It's called laziness. It's called, I would rather ask you about this than take the 30 or 40 seconds it would take to read it myself.
This is like shit. Like this is how Hitler did well.
we're already to Hitler.
People just don't think for themselves. Like they just like, oh, what you're believing? Yeah, that sounds about right. No, there's things that I'll say. And then my friends will look at me and they're like, dude, that's so right. Like, I talk completely out of my ass. And but I made it sound good because I sounded confident.
Every Monday, by the way.
Oh, that is exactly what you're getting. This is exactly what I'm talking about, though. Like, people don't, like, finish reading shit. They just kind of ask, like, tell me what to think. I'm like, dude.
Yeah, they don't even start to read it. They just go, what's that? Or they go, well, that's stupid. Did you read it? No.
Because it was
stupid.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
So anyway, I just wanted to say that. Nothing personal against anybody in this room. Although
I do know
of one instance. I think it was Ted who did that about something, but that
I don't
wasn't
think that's true.
That wasn't what set me off, but
it's
it
bullshit.
Was maybe. But it was one of those things where it was like, what? But hardly if it was somebody in this room, hardly the only time, because I don't get to yelling swear words on the first try. That takes at least three. So, this past weekend, the championship games were held to determine who gets to go to the Super Bowl. And the Broncos beat the Patriots. And then Seattle and San Francisco battled in a hard-fought game all the way to the end. And it ended with an interception after Richard Sherman, who's a cornerback, for the Seahawks, tipped a pass. And it was intercepted by one of their linebackers. Now, Richard Sherman, brilliant dude. He went to Stanford. He graduated first in his high school class, went to Stanford. Not only did he graduate from Stanford, he got a master's in 4 years. So he graduated in like 3 years and went back and got his master's, whatever. So damn, he's a really bright dude. However, he had just completed the play that sent the Seahawks to the Super Bowl for the first time when Aaron Andrews tracked him down on the field live on the Fox Network.
Let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. Will you try me with a song?
And that was it.
That was it?
And he walked away.
Who's Crabtree?
Michael Crabtree. He's a wide receiver for the 49ers.
So Crabtree was talking shit about him and said, don't you ever talk about me. That's what this whole like Facebook blow-up thing is about?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
A man who's so pumped up on adrenaline because he just won that huge game, said things that were controversial. Let's string him up.
That don't no,
literally.
Talk shit about me?
Yeah.
Is what,
didn't you hear what he said?
So much, Richard. That question sounded a little condescending, though. Like, but who's talking about you? Like, yeah.
Well, it sounded very. He sounded very mad and specific about something that was said, but I don't know what it was. And it's people talk shit during football games, don't they? That happens. It's part
much.
Of the sport of being
pretty
hyped
much.
Up on
people
testosterone.
People are hating on him for having testosterone.
Yeah, there was a lot about it, and they're saying he was classless, and that it was kind of. And then after this, he calmed down and said a lot of other bad things. He doesn't like Michael Crabtree. There was apparently an incident in the off season, but anyway, people took to Twitter, as people do. In this article from Deadspin, dumb people say stupid racist shit about Richard Sherman is the headline, because it's Deadspin. Here is what I'm going to do, because while Ted and I have both used the N-word on this show, I'm not going to do that.
Not as the N-word is used in the racist sense, like as a word.
Right.
Good gravy, people.
But I'm not going to say it. So if people wrote N-word, I'm going to say N-word. If people actually use the real N-word, I'm going to use another word that begins with N, and I'm going to use the word nobleman.
Oh, man. This can be confusing.
Like that works well.
So here are some of the tweets. LOL, don't mess with Richard Sherman. He'll go bananas. Guy's a frickin' jungle monkey.
You gotta be kidding
me. That's Zach Grennan.
But he didn't say the N-word, so it's not as bad.
I think the person who wrote that is kind of, with the LOL, is almost like not even aware that what they wrote is like
the worst
mean.
Thing.
That is... Do they think just by saying LOL, they just made that comment okay? It's kind of like, like don't I didn't mean that in a bad way. Well, what the fuck way did you mean it? Yeah. Like,
no offense. Playfully. No offense, but you're a horrible cunt.
Yeah,
no offense.
No offense. Don't take offense to that. I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Right.
Your genetics make you less than human. LOL.
I'm going to do that next. I'm going to like toss it to someone and go up to them and be like, but LOL.
It continues. Fuck you. Richard Sherman. This is tweeted directly at Richard Sherman. You fucking monkey. Can't wait till Peyton roasts you next week. That's from Eddie Kaplan. Someone who's just named GC at Tropicana CEO _15. Richard Sherman's an ignorant ape. So you're sensing a theme here?
Yeah.
Next one. Someone put Richard Sherman in an animal hospital because he's a fucking gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Sherman equals typical nobleman #douchebag. Isn't it better when I say nobleman?
Yeah.
Richard Sherman equals cocky nobleman.
Cocky nobleman.
That's from Cody Milliken. If you want to find him, it's at Cody _Milliken.
Oh, I do want to start following him. He sounds like a good source of information.
Richard Sherman is a nobleman. Fuck that. That's from Rob Felacio. Fuck you, Richard Sherman, you high-paid nobleman. Isn't it better that I changed the word to nobleman?
No. Like, I'm like getting confused. I'm like, oh, this is kind of a... Oh, wait, no.
Wait.
Dude, I forgot the warning in the beginning.
This one kind of confused me, but it allows me to hate all Italians. Because apparently, according to Dominic Santiello, every Italian 100% hates Sherman just because of that interview after the game. Typical gorilla nobleman.
Oh.
Was that from Italy's tweet? Like Twitter account?
The official Italy Twitter
I don't know, but now I hate Italians. So there you go.
Wow.
And it
Jersey Shore was not helping them in the beginning, and then this happened.
Here's someone with an Italian name, Adam Costello. Sorry, Becca.
My last name is Irish.
Oh, okay. Well,
Costello's
are you related to an Adam Costello?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, he tweeted, Richard Sherman deserves to get shot in the fucking head, disrespectful nobleman.
Oh, that seems reasonable.
Run into him at the family reunion. These are all Twitter reactions based off of that one interview that we just heard.
You deserve to get shot in the head for
being
yelling in a conference. Like, people don't realize what they're even saying.
People take games way too soon. This is all just like mind-boggling to me because it's just so ridiculous. And
oh yeah,
this is why I lost faith in human
football?
Society.
And
humans. Football fans.
And I'll end with this one because this one is a little bit weird and imaginative, but still incredibly hateful.
Oh,
from Larry at LarrySS34 at Richard. So he tweeted this directly to Richard Sherman. Your coach sucks more dick than a porn star. Nobleman, you're done next year. Use the wrong form of your. I will fuck every kid you ever have right in mouth.
What the hell?
So he just got away with child.
Yeah, I know.
Like molestation, rape. And he thought that was.
Well, threats of it.
Threats of it. He thought that was more classy than what this guy said.
Yes, than someone who's hyped up after a football game. Said about
so that's the standard of what people think, like child rape and is above what
I don't know how you brought the coach into this, because I'm pretty sure he does not suck more dick than a porn star.
Depends on the porn star.
What's wrong with sucking dick? People gotta do what they, I mean, people can do whatever they want. I don't understand why that's an insult.
Well, yeah.
They've been making porn stars.
Okay, you're right. That's actually kind of homophobic too.
That is really
so. That so it's bad on another level.
Who was that again? We'll give them a shout and call them a dumbass.
Let me find him.
No more.
No. I'm done reading them. She just wants to find who it is.
I lost the brain cell.
That's Larry at LarrySS34.
Larry, you're a dumbass.
My guess is Larry has like 9 followers.
Well, I guess it's Larry. And they're all they're all excited too. They're like, "Oh my god, you guys, I'm in this article," and they're just like sharing it with their friends, like hella proud.
Yeah,
it's like you do realize they're making fun of you, and you look stupid to world.
Can you imagine though? You go into work on Monday, and your boss is reading Deadspin and is seeing this, and he calls you into the office and goes, "Larry, I need to talk to you about something."
Or your friends, or your mother, anyone who doesn't.
Well, some people's mother would approve of that, and that's the sad thing. So.
His boss might approve it too. That's also sad, I suppose.
I doubt that.
You don't where you live.
Where you work. So that's the article, Dumb People Say Stupid Racist Shit to Richard Sherman. So
yay,
ridiculous.
Yay, America and Twitter.
So bad. On a happier, sillier note about the 49ers and their exploits, also from Deadspin, Jim Harbaugh wears $8 Walmart khakis. That's right. Niners coach Jim Harbaugh loves his game day khakis, probably because NFL coaches are functional lunatics who cling devoutly to certain habits lest they come completely unmoored from reality, and also because khakis offer loose fitting comfort at a reasonable price. That's the first paragraph from the Deadspin article.
Is it like one of those superstitious things? Like maybe he started, like when he started playing or coaching, he would always do like khakis, and then he was poor then. No, his dad was a coach. He was never poor.
Yeah, he was an NFL player. He hasn't been poor in forever.
Oh, I take everything back.
But he is serious about his pants. Even when his wife threw out some of his khakis, he refused to change his wardrobe. He's not going to be denied them. He was khakiless at the NFL Combine. He ended up buying an $8 pair of billowy khakis from Walmart. And they found photos of him buying khakis at Walmart.
I bet you this is the game that they lost, right?
This goes back from before. But
okay. I was gonna say probably after what happened yesterday, he's probably gonna not wear $8 khakis ever again.
So the tweet is like, "Man, your coach wears more khakis than a state worker."
Oh,
or something.
Oh snap.
Than
an algebra teacher.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I don't know why people knock on khakis. I think like in a work environment, they do work well. They fit, you know, khaki pants, black shirt, kind of looks nice.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Like, I mean, don't they say that? Didn't Einstein have like one kind of suit that he wore over and over? Like maybe Jim Harbaugh doesn't want to think about his game day fashion because he's got other things on his mind.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it might be, it's just really funny to think of an NFL coach who is an NFL player who obviously has plenty of money buying $8 khakis at Walmart.
Or walking into Walmart.
Whoa, why are you going to be hating on Walmart?
Because it's the worst.
Because...
Oh, that's right.
No, they're not. You know who's the worst? Anybody who loses all of my credit card information.
I'm not saying Target's the best either. I'm not defending either.
That's why you should go to the nurse and rack, because he won't get your credit card information.
Oh, really? As a representative of them?
Do they sell condoms at Nordstrom's Rack?
Oh, snap. I don't know. It might be in our accessories department.
They're like the condoms that don't sell at Nordstrom's.
The special purchase orders.
They're bedazzled for her pleasure.
Bedazzling doesn't sound like it'd be pleasurable for anybody.
It's like a ribbing.
Well,
ribs.
They have the ribs. Like, it could be one of those soft ribs. Why are we talking about...
Because it's the Nate Darling show.
Yeah. We go in places.
This is way better than the racist tweets.
We moved on from racist tweets to this. All right. Speaking of horrible people, Kate Gosselin was on the Today Show. Why? I have no fucking idea, but...
I really wanted that answer. Why was she on the Today Show? She's on a publicity tour. What is she publicizing?
I want her agent. Her agent somehow milked this and got her paid. Like, her agent must be one hell of a talker.
Well, let's listen in and see what she had to say.
Sarah and Maddie Gosselin are with us now. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Well, we have not seen you or gotten to talk to you two in a long, long time.
She's there with her two of her daughters.
And you're out because you want to let the world know that you're doing okay. Maddie, what would you want to say about how you and your sister and your family are doing?
Maddie, your words.
No,
it's your
hard.
Chance.
It's a hard question.
Use your words.
What about you, Kara?
So this is their chance to talk. This is the most wordless I've heard them all morning.
Yeah.
Is this live TV?
I don't want to speak for them, but Maddie, go ahead. Sort of the things that you said in the magazine, that years later, they're good, they're fine. Go for it, Mad. It's your chance.
No, you just said it.
Oh, I said it.
Well, let me ask you this, girls. I mean, to go out and be in People magazine to say, hey, we're doing okay. Why did you feel you needed to say that? Do you think people had the wrong impression of you guys, Kara?
Kara.
My gosh. What Kara is speaking.
No. Go for it. The interpreter.
Oh, wait, what?
What is she thinking? Do people have the wrong impression of you?
Oh. I wouldn't say wrong. I would just say not like the full like story.
That was brilliant.
Oh,
that was absolutely
this
brilliant.
Is today on NBC.
That's horrible.
So I think that answered the question. The publicity tour is just to let us know they're okay.
Right, because they were in People magazine, so now they're doing a publicity tour for People magazine.
Just but to why let us know they're still alive.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, follow up on The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, whoever, if they're like married. It's like, what are they doing now? And they show the picture of the happy family. It's like, oh, remember what you said in the magazine that was rehearsed and you read off a piece of paper? Say it on live TV. No, oh, shit, I forgot.
That all sounded terrible.
Oh, it was.
Wait, how old are those girls? I couldn't see the video.
I would guess about 12, 13.
Yeah, 13. They're,
okay,
they're
so
older.
They're not like, they're so little that they forget what to say. Like,
no,
they could have talked.
They probably got
they
yelled
hung,
out.
They hung their mother out to dry.
It was pretty fucking epic.
Now, remember when everyone thought John Gosselin was the douchebag? Well, he says he feels terrible for his daughters having to appear on the Today Show with Kate, telling TMZ the whole thing was, quote, horrible to watch. Well, I agree, John. It was horrible.
Worst.
Gosselin appeared on TMZ Live and said Kate's humiliating meltdown on live TV shows exactly why kids shouldn't be forced to participate in a lengthy publicity tour with their mother. He went on to say, I'm going to handle this as a family matter, adding, I don't want it to affect the children anymore. A
little late for that, buddy.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to TMZ to let everyone know that this is a family matter. And I'm going. Yeah,
some really exploitive bullshit going on here.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I'm the good guy. Like,
Listen, the good guy went on TMZ to clear things up. That's where we are.
That was the new. And that actually made him look better than what Kate just did. So that's. Well, that's a winning couple right there.
Wow.
I'm sad they broke up.
Do you still want to be famous for having kids? You can show them how it's done.
Dude, I'm broke as fuck right now.
Doesn't matter.
The Nate Darling Show.
Oh.
Cool. Or tool. Whoa,
whoa. Yeah, you don't need money to have kids. Just go to the trailer park.
Kids raise themselves.
It's true. They're like an ecosystem.
Hey, I'm from a trailer park and I'm an only child.
Yeah.
Not always do trailer park people have lots of children.
Correct.
What are you saying? All stereotypes aren't real?
They're just exaggerations of reality.
Oi.
Oi.
I don't know. I think a stereotype didn't work.
First up in Cooler Tool, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman, Ted.
He's cool because he spoke his mind and I don't really care, but I don't like all the shit he's getting. So cool.
Becca?
Yeah, he's cool. He won that game and, like, way to go. You told us he went to Stanford. Everything I know about Richard Sherman, I learned in the last 5 minutes. He's awesome.
Diana?
Same exact thing. I just learned about him right now, but he seems cool in my book.
Yeah, I hate Richard Sherman because he kills the Niners. He absolutely destroys the friggin' Niners.
That is sad.
Gotta respect him, don't
but
you?
That dude's cool.
Oh, there we go.
He is.
Woo, a very nobleman.
Kills my team. But he's cool.
Yeah.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Walmart khakis. Becca.
Nothing wrong with khakis, but I do not endorse shopping at Walmart. Tool.
Diana.
Yeah, I don't endorse shopping at Walmart either, but I just had to go grocery shopping there, so, but...
No, you don't endorse it, but you do it. Just like racism, I don't endorse it, but I do it. Not you, me, that's what I do.
All right, Ted.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think everyone knows I'm not a fan of Walmart. $8 khakis. You're paying $8 for pants. You're getting some really shitty low-quality pants that were probably made under suspect circumstances. So go to a thrift town and get some khakis. Oh, Tool.
Or Nordstrom Rack.
Tool's the answer.
I mean,
Tool.
If you have the money to spend...
Yeah, go to Nordstrom's Rack.
Go to Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
Don't go to Full Line. Go to the Rack.
you're all wrong.
No.
That is so fucking pimp. For Jim Harbaugh to roll into a Walmart and go, I shall take these khakis.
It just shows, to me, it seems like he's a little stingy.
That's pimp.
Whether he's pimp, that doesn't mean the pants are pimp.
That's pimp.
Okay.
And it's cool.
Pimp and Tool.
And finally, Kate Gosselin. Diana?
Oh, Tool. Is there another level past Tool? That was horrible to watch.
Uber Tool.
I'm going Uber Tool.
Becca?
I second that.
Ted?
Like, we're talking bedazzled, filth-coated Tool. That's the worst kind of Tool. I don't know.
Yeah, Kate Gosselin is such a Tool. She should have her own chest. She is such a Tool.
Oh.
Yeah, Tool chest.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I'm doing that chest. While I'm petting the cat that's on my lap. Right.
Literally, it's a cat.
Yeah, Hef on my lap.
He's so cute. I'm jealous.
He's getting a hug.
Aw.
Hef hug. Aw.
Hef's
that's
cool.
That's great on the radio, isn't it?
Yeah, let's talk about cats.
The on-demand radio. By the way, let's talk about if you've got cats, like, you know, Ted and Becca have cats.
We have cats.
One of the things you need a lot of is cat litter.
Oh, so true.
But cat litter's heavy to carry, isn't it, Ted?
Heavy. It is heavy.
Imagine if there were a place you could go online and buy cat litter and have it delivered right to your door by someone else.
Ooh.
That would be amazing, Nate. I can't even fathom such a place.
Maybe Amazon.
Oh.
Now, if you're going to shop Amazon anyway, because it's just the smart thing to do, please go to NateDarlingShow.com. First, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then shop till your heart's content. Whether it's cat litter, cat toys, cat treats.
Or cats.
Yeah, well, they don't actually sell cats.
No,
but,
yet.
Well.
Soon a drone will deliver a cat to your door.
I bet there's a portrait of a cat.
Oh, good
stuffed
point.
Stuffed cat.
Plus, yeah. Valentine's Day is coming up.
That's true.
Do they sell taxidermy?
Buy some presents.
Taxidermied cats on Amazon? Let's look it up.
That's entirely possible. You can check that out.
I will.
It doesn't cost you anything extra. It does help support the show, and we do appreciate it a great deal. So thank you very much for going ahead and doing that. I promised that that we would debut a new feature. It's time for the Nate Darling Show Dickhead of the Week.
Yay.
I kind of thought that was every one of our shows.
No, oddly it's not.
That's like our theme.
Well, it does come up a lot, but this guy is special. His name is Alan Beck. He is a chiropractor / Little League coach in Lakeside, California, and he's suing a 14-year-old player for tossing his helmet in celebration after scoring a game-winning run.
What the
let's go to my former employer KCRA3 for the story.
Allegedly, it hit back here somewhere.
Joe Paris told me the moment that he saw a lawsuit filed in connection with his son throwing this baseball helmet in the air in celebration,
it was in the air.
He was dumbfounded.
I actually thought it was a joke at first.
You didn't think he was serious?
No.
And now?
And now I think it's absurd.
In this court summons, Paris found out his 14-year-old son, who his dad asked us not to name, is being sued by his former Little League baseball coach, chiropractor Alan Beck, for what Beck said the boy did during a game. The boy's dad said his son was on second base in the last inning when his teammate hit the game-winning hit as his son came around to score. The dad says he threw his helmet into the air. That's when the boy's own coach said in court papers that the helmet hit him on the ankle, severing his Achilles tendon. That coach now asking for over $500,000 from the 14-year-old and his parents for pain and suffering, lost wages, and medical bills.
He's not going to want to do anything today.
When I finally did contact Alan Beck this afternoon, he said he couldn't comment until he gets the okay from his attorney.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
But
I must interrupt for this.
Can you imagine a world without lawyers?
At the field where this happened, a former coach and his son openly questioned what basis a teenager could be held liable.
One, there was no intent.
Legal expert Bill Portanova, who looked at the legal filing, agreed that this is going to be a tough case to prove in a sport where bats, balls, even helmets fly around during every game.
And there's a good chance that whoever responds to this lawsuit will be able to get it dismissed on the issue that the plaintiff in this case willfully signed on to potential contact, because baseball is a contact sport.
Oh man.
So we're not a
if
I just
there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
we're not allowed to celebrate in sports anymore, right? Is that the theme that's I feel like that is going on? Like,
well,
celebration
is I wanna know how exactly I wanna know what this man's Achilles tendon is made of. because it's obviously about as strong as cottage cheese.
Well, I think that the plastic Little League baseball helmet was clearly lined with ninja stars or X-Acto knives. I'm not really sure.
If he hadn't glued those box cutters to the bill of it, it would have been okay.
Yeah.
How? Yeah, he tossed
like,
it in the
severed,
air.
Not just like injured or bruised or scratched, but severed.
Well, tore is what he says. Here's what I'm guessing happened. The helmet went flying, the coach stepped on it, twisted his ankle, and that's when he tore his Achilles tendon a little bit.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm guessing.
So 500,000?
So the coach is suing a 14-year-old for being because he was a dumbass.
Correct. You've encapsulated it perfectly.
For $500,000 in pain and suffering.
Congratulations to you, Alan Beck. You're the Nate Darling Show Dickhead of the Week.
Yay.
And a shout out to my former coworker, Mike Tissell, for that wonderful package where he sprinted from second base to home plate.
I was wondering, I was like, is someone running? What
yes.
is happening?
He was committed.
Yeah. Mike Tissell, who he's a fantastic dude. I love Mike Tissell. But if it ever snows here, keep an eye on him because he will climb a snowbank to do a live shot. That's what he's known for.
He likes to do really active, active shots.
Yep. Yep. That's kind of what he does. So
that's cool.
Yeah. I like Mike a lot. So shout out to him. And that made it to Deadspin as well. So kudos to you, sir. We like to talk about the Iron Sheik because, well, who doesn't, really?
I have something embarrassing to admit about this.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Well, the Iron Sheik, you know, he constantly refers to giraffe tits, and I was like, he's always saying that people have giraffe tits, and I was like, yep. What do giraffe tits look like? Like, I'm so confused. Like, I just get no visual image whatsoever, and so I Google image giraffe tits and looked at giraffe's nipples last week, and they just look like nipples, sort of like you'd see on a cat or something, so I still kind of don't get it, but I was really embarrassed that I actually Googled another species tits.
I was actually gonna ask if we could pull it up because I'm curious now, like, where would he even come up with that? Like, is he using that as an insult, like to like call someone out and be like, you know what, you're a giraffe tit? Like, is that the way he uses it?
He says that you have giraffe tits.
Oh,
you know,
are
you
they
have
small?
Them.
Is that why? That's
maybe. Yeah.
Is that why it's like insulting?
It's something he says to women, I presume.
He says this to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Don't try and make sense of the Iron Sheik.
That I thought was weird was when you Google giraffe tits, in addition to seeing just like, you know, the underside of a giraffe, there was also an image of a woman getting her boobs licked by a giraffe and and a number of like voluptuous cartoon giraffes, like in lingerie and stuff. Like, people are like, oh, sexy giraffe, you know, anime or whatever. Oh, and so the internet is in a really interesting place when you start trying to figure out things you don't know.
Well, I'm gonna Google elephant trunk now and see what comes up.
So like, I feel like now when you log on to Facebook, you're just gonna get a whole bunch of bestiality suggestions.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah. I need to clear my history quickly.
Yeah,
I think.
That was
yeah.
I feel like those are some things that just shouldn't have been seen. See those.
So the Iron Sheik has a lot of people that he routinely gives crap to. He tweeted some stuff at Richard Sherman, but
oh god.
He's sort of had a little bit of a 180 when reading all about Richard Sherman, and he tweets the at Richard Sherman 25 play with heart. The last night, he get Iron Sheik heat. He respect the sport, and that the people that way, I respect him. So there you go.
I kind of get it. It's like one shrieking, hard-to-understand person to another.
I was like, I don't know how I feel because, like, this guy is supporting Richard Sherman. Yeah. I'm just like, should I question it now?
No.
I like, yeah, that was...
He also, in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, He tweeted, "Happy MLK Day to all my intelligent black people, except the black Rice Krispie dick, Chris Brown."
Ah! Black Rice Krispie.
He doesn't care for Chris Brown. He also tweeted, "Paula Deen shit her pants. Hashtag I have a dream."
What?
This guy's a winner. I'm going to follow him.
Is it because Paula Deen is like a racist or something?
I think so. Then he also tweeted, "Break fucking Justin Bieber neck." Hashtag I have a dream.
No, I don't like him.
Are you, you still have Bieber fever?
Well, last night he did tweet, "Good night, Richard, at Richard Sherman, suck my balls."
Aw. So, he meant it affectionately, I bet.
That was
well,
romantic.
No, but he's fixed it.
Suck my giraffe tits.
There's a real lack of giraffe tit tweets this week. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's very specific. It is.
Yeah, it's he posed this question before the NFC Championship game because the Sheik follows sports wholeheartedly. Russell Wilson make the Papernick the paper dick? We see what happened. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
he tries wordplay too. Which
okay,
is,
that's what that was.
I discourage wordplay heavily with people,
even though you practice it all your time yourself.
Not all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, he also tweeted on January 18th, "Good night, ravioli tits."
Ravioli have tits?
Do I have to Google that now, too?
You might have
to. No. I'm going to tell you no right now. Other things will come up. Not from
really?
Experience, just I'm guessing.
Okay,
I'm assuming.
Do it at work. and then he also tweeted, "Miley Cyrus win # SAG Awards for whore." Jeez. And "Justin Bieber win SAG Award for Tic Tac Dick."
Oh, God.
So that's what the Iron Sheik has been up to.
Well, a Tic Tac dick is way bigger than a Rice Krispie dick.
And mintier, too, I would guess.
Is it bigger than a giraffe tit?
Oh,
I'm not sure. We go now to our giraffe tit expert, Becca Costello.
No, I believe a Rice Krispie and a Tic Tac are all smaller than a giraffe tit.
Oh, that's good to know.
What a really voluptuous giraffe.
Oh, yeah. No, then, yeah.
Check out the rack on that giraffe.
Ah.
I'm glad I'm finally an expert in something.
There you go. You're now our correspondent. It's time
coming
for Florida
to you
Corner.
Live from the Sacramento Zoo.
Oh, you might get banned.
I'm not
going
to let you in anymore.
All right, so it's time for Florida Corner. Some music can only mean one thing. Headline: elderly Florida man attacks Walmart customer in express lane. That's right. Many people find a trip to the grocery store to be a bit stressful. But one elderly Florida man figured he'd had enough when a customer in front of him tried to check out more than 20 items in the express lane. Diana, was that you?
It says specifically 10 fucking items or less. Why the hell? Like, do you not know how to count? Come on.
Well, William E. Goladay, who's 77, faces felony battery charges for attacking 65-year-old John L. Matherby at a Charlotte County Walmart. That's according to a local NBC affiliate. The victim said in a police report that he was checking out in the express lane when Mr. Galladay started counting his items. The suspect got irritated and told Mr. Galladay he had too many items to be in the 20 items or less lane. Then he got in his face and was yelling before returning to his shopping cart. He then shoved it into his right side, hurting the victim's elbow. The suspect was then escorted outside, but shortly returned and approached the victim with his fists raised.
Good gravy.
He was escorted out again.
Why?
This is why I love Walmart, because shit like this happens.
Yeah, but you're defeating your own purpose. How long did the transaction take after you got into a fight? Like, just let the guy check out.
What's
and
that?
Move on.
He was being a vigilante. Like, this is why people shouldn't. Justice of, like, keeping the integrity of the express lane.
Old man justice.
So, wait, does anybody here check, like, when you're in the express lane, do you look at other people's carts and, like, count?
If
dude,
someone,
I don't got
yeah.
the brain cells or time for that.
Yeah. If I'm in an express lane and like it's 10 arms or less, and someone has like this huge amount, I'll certainly look at them and think thoughts, but I'm not going to attack them.
So you just like passive aggressively stare them down?
I guess so.
It's like you know, Ted.
It's if someone is doing something incredibly inconsiderate in front of me and I notice it, then yeah, I guess I don't. It's best to let it go, I suppose. But I have a feeling about it. So yeah,
I understand. Okay. Nate, do you check out people's express lane?
You know what? I will take a look. And like Ted, I've never actually said anything. I have like turned to somebody I was been with and were like, wow, 20 items or less.
Nah, that's passive aggressive.
I know.
I look at other people's cards just to like judge what they're getting. But I mean, I
not
never
the
count.
Number. Okay.
I have actually said out loud at one point, what kind of dick gets into the 20 items or less line with like 30 items in their cart?
It's like stealing from the children.
It is.
Stealing time from people.
I feel sad when I look at other people's stuff, so I try not to. Like, do you ever see the people when it's like, you know, like 4 12 packs and then like some hamburger meat? It makes me sad.
You gotta eat.
That's like what I got last night. Thanks.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm like, you know those people.
Since
you know who's in this room.
Since you mentioned it, I went to Target and it was a mid-afternoon transaction at Target. I think I mentioned this before the show. It was before the show, right? Before okay,
I think so.
And so I was looking around for stuff, and I was in the condom aisle, and they had the brand of condoms that I buy. They had the economy box on that was really cheap compared to what the regular 14-pack of condoms. Why they come in a 14-pack, I don't know. I can't. I have no idea why. But they come in a 14-pack or a 40-pack. So I'm going through the checkout at Target, and I've got cough drops.
Sexy.
I've got cough drops and a 40-pack of condoms.
Wow.
And the girl who checked me out, who was probably, I would say, about 25. I would say she's about 25. I don't know if she was impressed or horrified.
Why would she be impressed?
Because Nate was going to give a lot of blowjobs that day.
Oh, I forgot the blowjobs.
I don't think that's exactly where I was going with it. But
that's
okay.
Where I was going with it.
It's like, this guy gets more blowjobs than a porn star.
He's yeah, that's what she was cough thinking. Drops. And you're like, well, I have this cold, but, you know, just got to keep it wrapped. I don't know. It's just the weirdest combination.
You definitely got to keep it wrapped.
You know, you should have just got a bottle of like vodka or something too, just for like, to seal the deal with
everything. What am I, 16? I'm going to pad out what I'm buying because I'm embarrassed that I'm getting condoms? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
No, just so that everything all ties together. You got the alcohol, you got the condoms. It sounds like a good date night or something. 40 of them? No,
it doesn't have to. I'm a guy. We don't shop in themes.
Oh.
It doesn't work like that.
I like to cover all my basis when I go purchase my condoms, I guess.
Well, I will explain. The cough drops are not because I have a cold. It's because when I run, I like to have a cough drop in my mouth because it keeps my throat lubricated.
Oh.
For her pleasure.
Again.
In case I have to give a blowjob. Anyway, up next in Florida Corner, a mother arrested after leaving a child near a mailbox. That's
we are following a shocking story developing right now in Palmetto. Deputies telling us a woman abandoned her one-year-old baby in a front yard. Our Chris Trankman joins us live with the very latest. Chris, what can you tell us?
Well, this little boy was left on the side of the road right next to this mailbox at about 3:20 this afternoon. This is at the same time traffic was zipping back and forth on the roadway. Now, we're here at 1624 17th Street East in Palmetto, and I talked to Jaquita Sales, who lives here at the house. She says she just happened to be near her front window when she saw the toddler crawling around on the side of the road. Now, Palmetto police say 27-year-old Aaron Carnes dropped off the child this afternoon and then came back with two bags for the baby and left them here as well. Now, Sales was able to get the child to safety while Carnes took off and then crashed her car near the Green Bridge. Now, police say at one point she threatened to jump off, and officers were able to get a hold of her and then send her to the hospital. Now, Carnes was then released from the hospital and booked into the Manatee County Jail on charges of child abandonment. According to investigators, the reason she left her son here is because she believed the baby's father lived at this address. Now, we know tonight that the child is now with his grandmother and that he is safe at this hour.
So, kid's safe, but I got to question the parenting if you just drop off your kid next to his dad's mailbox.
You like didn't want to go like take him to the door. She believed he lived there.
It would have been an awkward exchange on the porch. I mean, you don't want confrontations. So
yeah, isn't
like,
that why people meet at McDonald's? Like they pick a neutral zone or some shit, and then you do the child exchange there.
Well, how is he supposed to know that there's, if it were his place, it's not what he's, do you put like the flag up on the mailbox to go, hey, by the way,
you got a package here. That's so, wow.
Yeah. So welcome to Florida. Suddenly the 77-year-old dude who attacked a 65-year-old dude at the Walmart doesn't seem so bad.
Man, I am looking forward to growing up.
Of course. Anyway, moving on to happier news. Here's some advice. Ted, pay attention.
I'm paying perfect attention.
Always take your gun out of your pocket before you take off your pants.
I don't want to, Nate. You can't make me.
Otherwise, you might end up like William Rude, who shot himself in the chin as he attempted to disrobe. That sink in. Deputy David Cahill of Carter County, Tennessee's Sheriff's Department was called to Rude's home when he found the bloody scene. He Rude told Caldwell his loaded 25 caliber Beretta pistol had been in the right front pocket of his pants. The pistol discharged as he placed his pants on the dresser. The bullet struck him in the nose and chin, eventually settling in his neck. He was rushed to the local hospital, where he's airlifted to a better-equipped Johnson City Medical Center.
Okay, you may mock that, but think about how many times a criminal was about to rob him, but as he was dressing, holding his gun, but ran away because he was armed and dangerous and ready to shoot.
Here's what I know.
Okay,
if he would have aimed it better, I don't know.
Is that kind of gun have a safety? I mean, why would you even have it in your pants without a safety on? I mean, don't you even care about your junk?
Because of terrorists. It could come in at any minute when you least expect it. You have to be ready.
You can't even have the safety on?
No, safety is that's the second it takes. It's death.
How did he put it on the dresser to have it face him?
Well, you just take your pants off and toss them on the dresser.
Yeah,
I guess.
But wouldn't you take your pants off and so it would be facing away from you, wouldn't it?
Well, the gun could turn over in the air. I don't know.
Did he do what the little boy did and just throw it up in the air and just hope it landed on the dresser?
Probably. That's what I would do. But I'd take the gun out.
Yeah.
No. What's really sad is the comment by Taylor Berman, who commented, "If only his face had a gun, all this could have been prevented."
Oh, I feel bad laughing.
Okay, can we edit my laugh? Because I do feel bad laughing about that, but that was pretty fucking funny.
No, there's no reason. Yeah, so there you go. That's the best comment.
It's so bad. I can't stop laughing.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I find it hard to feel bad for somebody who shoots himself like that. That's just stupid. I mean, it wasn't one of those weird things where he was taking it out of his holster and something hit something, or the dog came by and bumped him, or, you know, he was busy yelling at his wife who just wasn't listening. I mean, this is just stupid.
Yeah, I feel like that's why they should do, better screening for people that, you know, want guns and stuff, because, he's lucky it was just, he did something stupid and it affected him. Like, can you imagine if he did some stupid shit and, it killed someone else?
Yeah,
I can imagine.
That
stupid
happen,
people should not carry guns. That's just one of the stipulations I think that should be out there.
Why do you hate America, Diana? Why do you want to ban freedom?
I hate stupid people that take advantage of the great country that America is.
Life, liberty, the pursuit of stupidity. It's in the Constitution. With a K and a S and I don't know.
Hey, who's watched Breaking Bad?
Oh, me.
I've seen every single episode.
Oh, I have to start that.
Okay, well... Well, apparently a Breaking Bad-inspired drug dealers are now dyeing their meth blue.
Of course.
But don't be misled. Despite what your tweaked brain may be telling you, blue meth that you're buying was not actually made by Heisenberg or Jesse Pinkman.
Oh.
In fact, it's likely more dangerous than regular meth. According to law enforcement officials, a group of sort of savvy meth dealers have been dyeing their drugs blue to make it look like the Walter White created meth on Breaking Bad. Because, well, if you can't fool a tweaker, who can you fool? Quote, "We're seeing an increase in blue meth up in the Four Corners and in the Farmington region. It's actually being moved and pushed by various distributors." That's Homeland Security agent Kevin Abar. Unlike the high-quality meth in Breaking Bad, the blue dye likely just makes the drugs, a little bit more dangerous. "It's truly bad," Abar says, adding that dealers are dyeing it with potentially unsafe chemicals. Because you don't want something unsafe going in your meth. It's a bad meth that's created a lot of individuals getting sick from utilizing it, as opposed to the regular healthy meth.
That's kind of sad, though, because, I mean, the blue meth in Breaking Bad is blue because they used, a different solvent or whatever. You think somebody would go to the trouble of actually making some boutique meth in the style of the meth in the show instead of just, tinging it with toilet bowl cleaner or whatever the heck they're doing.
It's like meth dealers have no conscience.
I know. They don't care about quality.
I have a question about Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Just when they do meth, the meth users in Breaking Bad, they go, it's not like portraying meth users in a positive light. It's like, here's our, meth is not great, but this guy needs to do it because there's a need. They show the side effects to it, do they?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly about people who make it and not very much about people who use it, but
right.
everybody in the show comes out worse, for being involved.
So the thing is, I don't picture real meth users sitting around watching Breaking Bad and not thinking to themselves, holy fuck, that's what's happening to me. Like, I feel like they don't watch it for that reason.
Yeah.
They just do the drug. They don't watch it. So for them to go out of their way, they're trying to market it to the non-meth users who just love Breaking Bad.
That's interesting. I'm trying to think, if I was a person who is addicted to meth, would I like the show Breaking Bad or not?
And be like, oh my God, Blue, yo, you gotta try this shit. It's like the shit on TV where they really fuck you. Like, no, I think they're trying to, it's like candy cigarettes. They're trying to appease to like a different market.
Have you ever talked to a tweaker?
They watch Breaking Bad?
No, no, no. Have you ever talked to an actual tweaker? Maybe at like a gas station.
Yeah.
When they're asking you for money.
Yeah.
Does this seem like a logical human being to you?
Touche.
Who wouldn't be influenced by, well, anything shiny?
Oh, touche. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are not people in their right mind.
I think they should. I think if they're kind, they should just mix it with some squash and blueberries and just roll it in there.
Some blueberry meth.
Why not? Jesse Pinkman made chili powder meth in the first season of the show.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, I wasn't chilling.
Oh, yeah, that explains the whole show. You'll never be able to watch it now. I'm pretty sure that was introduced in episode one.
It was very early on. It was when he was telling that Mr. White that he cooked his own meth and he was really good at it.
Yep, because he put a little chili pepper in it.
That's right. Yeah, that's what he was known for. That was his thing.
What does a meth house smell like? When someone's cooking meth, what does it smell like?
Chili powder.
My guess is chemicals.
They always wear masks in the show. Like, yeah, you can't even breathe it.
Is it like a burning? Like, if you're not, like, I'm not saying that I walk into like someone's house and was like, I think this smells like meth, but we smelled something burning. Like, I went home and like we smelled something burning like in our neighborhood, and we don't live in our side of the street is nice, but the, like, you cross the street and like the rest of the neighborhood is not that great. And so we're like, what is that smell?
And it's not like a weed burning.
No, it wasn't weed burning. Definitely
not. It was chemical-y.
It smelled really weird. And so we're thinking there might be a meth house. But I've only could tell when people would leave the shoes over the power lines, but we don't have that here. They did that in the city in San Francisco.
But I don't think that's a meth thing.
It's,
I think,
not?
If you go to
Is
E-How.
It a drug dealer thing or a meth thing? There's a reason for the shoes, like right in front of the house. It's like a signal to be like, oh, you come here.
Wait.
Because a meth house blew up when I, like, across the street when I lived in the city.
Ooh.
And they had shoes in front of them.
No, that could be something else.
Ted, what do you learn from E-How?
Oh, I said there's probably an E-How. How do I know if there's a meth house in my neighborhood? Just go look it up.
Step one, sniff the air. Step two,
look for tweakers.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. And Sudafed. Go ahead and look for Sudafed. So, all right, well, it's almost that time of the show when we do this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. There we go. I turn that down like that. That way I can talk. Tell you about a little small town news from a little place called Plattsburgh, New York.
Aww.
Headline, varying weather couldn't rain on this parade. Toby and I have been on the road again visiting family in Colorado Springs. Having checked the weather, we left Plattsburgh the week before Christmas. The forecast was for clear skies and high 30s, perfect for a 500-mile driving days. As often happens, though, that's not the way it played out. Our first night was in the Ashtabula, Ohio area, at one of its nicest and cleanest America's Best Value Inn locations. The next day dawned sunny and 38. We took off for Indiana and Illinois, staying in Effingham, Illinois. A little humor on the road never hurt anyone, so I'll share a little incident that made me laugh. Toby packed his own suitcase because after our last trip to Pennsylvania, when I packed it, he wasn't pleased that I left half his clothes at home on the couch where he put them.
Oh, Susan.
Don't you know it's your job?
In Ashtabula, I asked him if he wanted to use the toothpaste before I packed it away. That was when he discovered that he had forgotten his toothbrush. I wasn't really surprised. It's a guy thing.
Oh, shit.
Wow, we went away this weekend and Ted forgot his toothbrush.
Oh, it is a guy thing.
I guess
so.
Where
did you guys go this weekend?
Oh, we went to visit our friends, Rachel and Ben, in Southern California.
You know, we were going to talk about it. We'll talk about that on the Friday show.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But Ted bought a toothbrush and everything was okay, you guys.
Oh, thank God you could find one.
I know, usually you just can't. Yeah. But it turns out in Southern California they have toothbrushes.
So wait. This is a column by Susan Tobias, right?
Correct.
I'm still so confused as to how her husband is named Toby. Toby Tobias?
Yes. You're confused by this?
Yes.
And that's probably a nickname.
Or his parents thought that it would be cool and did it.
My guess is a nickname.
Oh, really?
Knowing people from that area, yeah. Because clever nicknames aren't really a thing there. So you just go, oh, Tobias, Toby, all right. So I said I would go to the front desk and ask for a complimentary one. He looked at me with all serious and asked, are they new?
Men are the worst.
After a moment of thought, I said, right, with my dry British humor and control, no, honey, they collect all the toothbrushes people leave behind and hand them out to people like you who forget theirs. He rolled his eyes and said, good one, Susan. As I headed to the front desk, I think he was suffering from road fatigue after driving 500 miles the day before.
That doesn't sound right.
As always, we checked in the National Weather Service, surprised to see a severe weather warning for Kansas. We've experienced Kansas weather before with a tornado that chased us and another year a snowstorm with high winds and whiteouts. This warning was for an ice storm. If I were driving, I would have opted for another day in Effingham, but Toby is the retired trucker and insists on driving the 4,000-mile round trip. So it's his decision. He said, we're going! And away we went. The weather was great through Missouri. Being a Saturday, traffic was light. As we closed in on Kansas City, Missouri, the sky started spitting rain, and then it turned to tick-tick on the windshield. The further west we went, the worse it got. Finally, the rain turned to sleet and ice that coated the windshield wipers and every inch of the truck. A stop for some gas and some coffee gave Toby a chance to clean off the wipers, making our visibility much better.
I have to say, this is the most exciting Susan Tobias column I've ever heard.
Onward we pressed, although every 10 miles or so, we saw most of the four-wheel drive vehicles that had passed us stranded in the medium or in the ditch. Tractor trailers had jackknifed, one unhooked from the cab, but westward we pressed. About this time, I'm beginning to think that our goal city, Hayes, Kansas, wasn't such a great idea after all. This was deja vu from another trip we had taken on the same route 2 years before. I wanted to scream, give me chocolate! But instead, I just closed my eyes and prayed.
I'm glad she's equally stereotypical on both sides of the
I have to say, given that she's now driving through sleet with her tired, retired trucker husband and cars are like jackknifing left and right, I'm surprised we spent so much time talking about the toothbrush and the America's Best Value.
Some sections of the interstate were plowed, but we were plowing as we drove 35 to 40 miles per hour for 4 hours moving toward Hayes. What a treat to finally see that sign, Hayes, 80 miles. Almost as suddenly as the freezing rain had started in Kansas City, it stopped near Salina. And we had bare roads, not a speck of snow anywhere, just the broad, starry Kansas sky. We got to Hayes around midnight. We checked into America's Best Value Inn. And we're very relieved to have a nice warm bed for the night. Our truck was the only red ice cube in the parking lot the next morning, garnering curious looks from guests checking out. On our last day of our trip in Limon, Colorado, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it, and Colorado Springs, we enjoyed sunshine and a whole bevy of Western music, with both of us singing along, to be greeted with hugs and kisses from our daughter, her husband, 10 grandchildren, and one beautiful newborn great-grandchild made the winter storm trial worth it. Toby's last comment to me before we left Hayes, see, if we'd stayed in Effingham another night like you wanted to, we'd still have another day before we see the kids. I had to admit, he was right. This time. One last thought. As always, be kind to each other. The world needs more kindness.
What the fuck was that? What did you just read out loud?
It was so much better than it usually is. Like, it actually had, like, a straight plot, and there was, like, a beginning and a middle and an end, and there was suspense.
Yeah, I know. Like, what?
That's small town news.
Oh man, that was great.
Yeah, it doesn't have to make sense. It
it was great.
It just has to fill up space in the paper.
I was
impressed. It didn't rely on any Wikipedia or anything.
I know it was a pretty exciting trip.
Did you love this movie?
I probably did at the time. I don't recall now because it was a while ago.
Then why did you pick this song?
Because I'm just trying to wrap up the show.
Yeah, but it's such a random song if you're not in love with the movie Eddie and the Cruisers, which was my favorite movie when I was a kid, and I had the soundtrack, and I played it forever.
Maybe I was just mind-melding with you, Becca.
Maybe.
That's a great way to end. We're going to end on a high note.
Maybe I had to pick... Oh. I was like, maybe I can pick this for my Netflix movie of the week next time, but I've already seen it, so it doesn't count.
There you go. Coming up on Friday, it's our Netflix Flick of the Week. We'll talk about a movie that we all watched.
Yay, movies.
Until then, enjoy the rest of your hump day, and we will see you on Friday with a fresh new episode of The Nate Darling Show.